Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. It's an honor to bring to you, for the second time, Dr. Richard Dweck.
Oh, thank you.
How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Do you want to talk this way?
Just
focus your face this way. So you were telling me, now I don't want to, you know, add too much negativity.
No.
But the last time I saw you, you kind of, well, it was the roast, but before that, that I was at Brighton Bar, you kind of snapped because a lot of people were asking you to be on the roast.
Yeah, and it was annoying because, I didn't want to sound like a dick, and it's, hard because it's a sentimental thing. And, you know, I wanted people that, and I didn't get to get a lot of people that I wanted because a lot of people were working and busy, and it was just, it was annoying because I think a lot of people, I'm very fortunate and happy that people like me so much. But there's sort of, I feel like there's barriers. Not like barriers, but you have to know your relationship with someone.
Right.
And you should know the difference between being, really close with someone and being an acquaintance.
Now, getting roasted, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. You gotta have people who are good.
It's like your bar mitzvah.
Yeah, you gotta have people, and you know, it's hard to say, in front of people. It's very bad, I sort of said this and I shouldn't have about this person.
Because
they're a very sweet person and I like them a lot. But their sense of humor is similar to mine. And it's I need to put on a good show.
Right, right.
I need to put on a good show. I need to have people who know me. I can't just have, you know, someone I've known for 2 months. Only the reason I had you on was because you're hilarious. You're, funnier than, you're, 50 times funnier than most people in this scene. And I did your podcast, so I sort of felt like I owed you. I was like, you know what? This is a sentimental part.
Right.
You know, and it sounds, you know, I guess arrogant or whatever, but in the grand scheme of things, of everything that happened, I sort of want the most sentimental people.
Yeah.
And it just makes me, and it made me feel I don't mind being roasted. I don't mind looking like a doofus. I don't mind that. But don't make me look like a fucking asshole. That's
right,
my thing.
Right.
Like there's still a,
keep it to a level of.
Yeah. Don't make me look like a dick, because I don't want people to think
yeah,
I'm mean.
Roast me, but, there's kind of limits and make it, you know, make
right.
it not,
and that's,
like
what sort of annoyed me with people, they're like, I'm just kidding. It's no, it's annoying, because, I worked really hard to make this a thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be a good, thing, and I know their feeling, and I understand it, but, wanting to be involved in everything.
Mm.
But also, I feel like there's just levels, you know? If Ally Mae was putting on a roast or some type of show, I know I wouldn't be on it. I get along with her fine.
Right,
but
right.
We're not in the same circle.
Right, right.
So, I wouldn't get offended by it.
There's bubbles of friends groups,
so
and it's not
so
a big...
So, I feel when someone is I'm I'm the Ally Mae to you. You're not... We're not in that type
right,
of relationship.
Right.
We get along really well, but, you know... There has to be something more to that.
Yeah, and I feel like when you did my podcast and all that stuff, we actually got pretty close. And,
yeah.
Every time I see you, I feel like we've got to be friends pretty fast.
You're really sweet and really, nice to me.
Oh,
and
great.
The thing that I like about you is you're not, a mean person. But what I like about you, and also what's, kind of terrifying to me, is you're very honest. I feel like, and also you're older, but you're, you just have this no bullshit quality about you that I like a lot. But also, it's very scary. It's okay, I cannot, I have to be very careful with this.
Yeah.
Because, when you were getting pretty strict on people for the roast.
Right,
chat. I was contemplating, and this is a good thing I was happy I didn't do, because this is, another, crossroads thing.
Can I just interject? So, you have a chat before.
Yeah,
for
I had
all
a chat.
The people that were on the roast, you had a big Facebook chat.
Yeah.
And I started going, hey, guys, can you please fucking prepare for this and don't,
and
do it the day of?
I understood your point.
Yeah.
And I totally agreed with it.
Because, it was
there
no
was
joke.
A side of me
sure.
that wanted to, that was fearful, and wanted to message you and be like, could you be a little bit nicer? But I didn't. And I was like, that's the one thing that I sort of, think about. I'm so glad I didn't do that. Because I didn't want anything to happen between
right.
you and me.
Right, right.
But I was I contemplated it for a while. I was should I message him and tell him to chill out? Or would that make him mad at me?
But then people started going after me, on the, you know, Mark Henry was who's that piece of shit Eric Hollerbach telling
right.
me to do stuff?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he shows up blackout drunk to George Street. So it's okay, cocksucker, maybe
right.
Get your shit together.
Yeah.
But anyway,
So that's just sort of my thing. And it went way easier and better than I thought it would. The bar was really, really good. They made everything, like, super easy.
Yeah, you had a nice snack buffet. Like, everything was cool.
Yeah, they did. Like, you know? That's all my mom, and that's all
it was
Carl
great.
Callen. He does that. He had his...
I really like Carl.
Bake shop. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, it's sort of... His sort of roast was the, like, catalyst for this, because it sort of... It encapsulates, like, sort of my way that I am, is, like, this thing is really cool. I want one.
Hey, that's cool. And I think it should be, like, once a year they should do this shit here.
It's funny, because, like, great. I just sort of realized that, like... And it's kind of a quality that I have to sort of realize that is kind of like me, but also it's like a thing that I don't really like to admit is I like to make things about me. So, like, when I saw that you were having people on your podcast again, like repeats, I was like, I got to get on there again.
Hey, he's having repeats. But also you listen to the podcast and you share it and this and that. So, as soon as you message me, I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let me just, because I had a lot of scheduling.
Yeah.
By the way, like, I've had a lot of dropouts recently, and it's just like, it's so tough. Like, when I schedule, I'm like, I'm a big guy. Like, I think if you have a red pen and a calendar, you could be a bad motherfucker, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can schedule your life and do everything you want to do. And, you know, when like, someone I've had on the books for, like, a month or 3 weeks cancels the day of, I'm always like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
I'm trying to put these in the bank. So I know, like, hey, well, if I invite Richard Dweck to Brighton Bar, he's going to show up. We're going to do it. So it's going to happen. So, so to do with the thing of you saying that, you're trying to change in your life. You're trying not to be so negative. You're trying to have everything happy and positive. You created another Twitter and another Facebook, right?
I created another Facebook and not another Twitter. My Twitter is just, like, too late. It's just, like...
It's people, too far gone.
But also what's good about it, and it's kind of, like, another ego thing, but also, like, being, like, a comedian, it's nice to have a thing built. Like...
You have a lot of followers.
Like, a lot of followers.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is, you know, it always... it's always nice because I have those three, like, pillars of things. So I've, like, political people, like comedians and regular people from that like what I post. And then I have comedians and, like, of all different ranges, from celebrities to, like, you know, people that are just, you know, say they're a comedian, do stand up.
Yeah.
Like, I have those on Twitter. Sure. And then I have the wrestling people. So, like, and with wrestling, it's such, like, it's very toxic, but also it's very, there's a lot of funny people because it's such, like, a crazy world.
Yeah.
That, like, whenever there's a show, we're always just trading back jokes and, like, during pay-per-views and stuff. It's always good to, like, really show your sense of humor with it because it makes it such a greater play.
It's a carny. It's a carnival of carnies.
And I think it's the same thing that would happen, like, if there was, like, you know, if there was a comedian or, like, comedians that go on, like, Twitter during football and basketball. Like, they just sort of make the game better.
Yeah.
And it just is sort of like that. It just creates a better thing. And I think for me, it's just, you know, as much as I can build up. And then I can, like, just promote more stuff and be like, well, this is what I'm doing. And hopefully things can, you know.
So talk to me about your new Facebook. What have you got from having a new Facebook?
It's sort of hard because it's, like, the way they set it up. It's like, I wanted to change it because I might have to delete it soon and create an actual Facebook because the one I created was more of an editorial, and it's very hard because, like, it takes forever for people to see things because it's got to, like, build up or whatever, and, like, you have to pay money, like, for it to, like, get more, like, followers. So I'm probably just going to change that. And I was also thinking about, like, making one for Instagram too, because I can just share, like, just pictures and stuff. Like, of stuff that I agree with, but it will be easier that way. But it's just, I'm just trying to be less, like, just, not dramatic's the wrong word, but just, like...
Try to be more positive.
More positive, and more, like, this is, like, enticing to see. Because I can just imagine, like, I've become friends with a lot of, you know, comedians on Facebook, and I don't want them to be like, this guy's a bummer, this guy's annoying.
Right. So you wanted to start over.
Yeah. And just be like, okay, this guy's funny, this guy is, you know, what I think he
this
is.
This is a class act.
Right.
He's not negative like that other Richard Dweck I used to know on Facebook.
Right.
So that's part of your New Year's resolution. You want to, like, hit the reset button and, like,
try to... Yeah, just a better person. Because I'm very, like, I'm just... it's always so funny. I don't have... I hate that I don't have, like, an angry, resting bitch face. I wish that I did.
You could work on it.
Like, I don't have that. Like, for some reason, I was not born with that skill. So people could look at me and be like, that guy's happy. But on the inside, I'll be like, fuck you.
Right. Don't ask to be on my road.
Right.
Only very special people right. get to be there.
Like, yeah.
Whoa.
So.
It's like, yeah, yeah. Are you still in therapy seeing a therapist?
No, I'm not. I haven't seen a therapist in a while. The last person they had was kind of like this hippy-dippy woman. She was like, it was the place where I worked out. And I just talked to her and stuff, and she was more like, spiritual based, which is very interesting because I'm not a spiritual or religious person.
Uh-huh.
So, like, she was very nice and very sweet, and, like, it was good to talk to someone. But, like, for me, I sort of am a stickler for, like, I need people who sort of are qualified.
Yeah, you know, my
sister. And, like, that was my biggest thing when I was, like, my whole family, I think my sister and my brother, they don't really like therapy. And for me, I like it a lot. But also, as a kid, I liked it because you could sort of see, like, when you went to see someone, you could see their credentials.
Yeah.
Like, on the wall. Yeah. Like,
even, oh, you went to that school.
Yeah, it's like, you went to that school. Like, that would make me,
it's not like how'd you become a healer? Well, I found a crystal in the woods.
Right, exactly.
And then a deer came by, and it poked its little nose up at me, and I was like, I gotta heal people.
And then, she's very sweet, but I recently found out she was, like, one of those anti-vax people, so I haven't talked to her for, like,
a while. Politics.
I was like, she's a very sweet lady, and I was like, you know, and it's good to have someone to talk to, but, like, for me, also my... I haven't really needed to, because my temper is a lot better. I don't really have my temper that I used to.
Are you still medicated?
Yeah, I still take the two medications that I take.
You don't think you got to check in with a therapist every now and then, a psychiatrist, to be like, okay, are these meds working, this and that?
I do have a guy like that. I have a therapist like that, but I'm not like... I'm very... I don't give him as much as he wants.
What does he want?
He just wants to, you know, he wants to have that sort of thing where we talk, but it's just like, we don't get along in that way.
He wants to dig up your childhood and really get into it.
I guess so. Like, he wants to, and I guess he kind of knows that I'm not, because a lot of when we started, it was more like him being more, not lectury, but I guess he just wanted me to work on a few things, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do what someone tells me to do.
Right.
I don't want that kind of person. That's a big thing for me, is I always say, like, I have, and also, like, it being a guy, I think, is harder, but also, like, I always say, I don't need another dad. I have a dad, he's great, but I don't need another
but
dad.
But does this guy have credentials on
his credentials.
Wall?
And, oh, wow. Like, he's, but we don't, like, for a while we didn't get along, but he was a part of the school that I moved to. He was there, like, one of their therapists there, their doctors there, and he worked with everyone's medicine. So I just work with him for my medication. He asked me about how things are going in life, and I don't give him as much as I would give a person that I usually sit and talk to.
So you think the spiritual lady you gave more to?
I gave more to.
How did she appeal to you to...
We just talked about, you know, she was very interested in me, and I was interested in, like, what her sort of thoughts were and her sort of, like, side of everything.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think what also did that was really good is I had sort of a bias towards spiritual people that she wasn't, like, she was the opposite of what I thought, like, a spiritual leaning person would be.
Was she flexible?
Like, she was, like, flexible, and she was, like...
She did yoga?
She did yoga and stuff. But
so
she
was a big, like, fat cow who didn't move her body at all, you would have been like, you don't know shit.
Right, but she was just like, she was a nice lady, so I was like, this is, but it's always, so it's just been, I haven't had someone like that, and it's weird that I haven't really needed it, because usually I would, but, like, I don't know, I always think, like, maybe it would be fine to get, like, another person. It's just hard, because the guy that, like, I get my medicine from, we get along fine now, but, like, especially when we started working together, I was just 17, 18, and I was in a really bad place, and it was just, like, very rebellious towards everything.
So what if you had a psychiatrist who was a lady, do you think
I think I've had both.
Right, right.
And I've mostly had, like, guys, but, like, I don't think it... I think there's more of an... Just, it's a stereotypical thing. Like, they're just more easier to talk to. Like, it's,
women are?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
right.
feels like... Yeah, especially, like, caretakers in that type of way.
Right.
And it just is a...
Now, would it be distracting if, like, your therapist was, like, a foxy, foxy broad? Or would you
rather... I had that with one.
Yeah?
I had that with one. And that was that was very interesting.
Was it tough because you felt like you wanted to impress them with your virility?
No. It was more like, try not to stare like a 14-year-old.
Oh, right, right. I'm the same way.
Like,
I could not have a hot therapist because,
like,
I would be lying to them constantly to impress them.
There was no, like, I wasn't, like, outwardly libidinous, but I was, like, trying not to be, like, okay, don't look. Look at her.
Right, right.
And, that was just the thing, so.
You keep on, like, tying your shoes to look up her skirt.
Right.
And stuff. Like, it's just, like, it's a bad scene.
Right.
I had a boner for half of this. I don't know if I got anything out of it.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I had this therapist in New Orleans who was like, he was like a 68-year-old man, but he went to, fucking Oxford to study in it. That guy was the best. I love that guy. Dr. Reed Doster. Shout out to him. From New Orleans, Louisiana. But, yeah, it was, anyway, can I just say some things? I was saying this with Danny Braff. Actually, Danny Braff is going to be, he's going to have a small segment on this episode.
Oh, great.
But, like, I think that the New Jersey comedy scene mostly, like, gets along fucking great. And it really is, like, a full community,
you know? It's funny that you say that. And, like, we get along. But also, I think it's a mix.
There's little things, I'm telling you.
I think compared to other places that I've heard, we are pretty good.
Man, I bet when I was in New Orleans, it's so clicky, and I got banned from 5 places, and this and that, and then, like, everyone, there was this group that hated me, and then the friends of that group, it's like you said, the bubbles of different, like, friend groups. Like, because I pissed off this person, this friend group, like, 3 of his adjoining bubbles all fucking hated
right.
me. And without even, like, having one fucking conversation with me. And here, like, I've had little friction with this guy or that guy, but overall, it's not like all that person's friends overnight treat me different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think there's a mix with that. Like, sometimes there is for me, and most of the time there isn't. Like, for me, it's just, like, what's so hard is a lot of the people that, like, I don't get along with as much as I want to, they're all hilarious to me. So, like, I can't be like, oh, I hate that guy, he's not funny. I have to be like, oh, that guy hates me. And on top of that, he's freaking hilarious. And I want to talk to him, and I want to praise him. And,
who hates you?
A few people.
Who hates you? Name names.
Tyler Langlois.
He doesn't like you?
He doesn't like anyone, though. He's, like, pretty antisocial.
He is a hard nut to crack.
So,
like, I think
people come up
me.
To him, and he just walks away. So, like, for me, that's not really personal. Like, to me, but it's still hard, because I think he's very, very funny.
I love Tyler Langlois, but he doesn't give me much. Like, I'm like, hey, buddy, good to see you. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's...
But I think we're friends. I'm pretty sure we're friends.
It's, like, weird. So, I remember I saw him hug Waldo one time, and it was, like, it was like if he did a backflip or something. It was crazy to me. I was, like, showing emotion to someone.
Wow,
like,
he's an affectionate guy sometimes? I haven't experienced that.
The last time I saw him, he ran, like... He moved, like, so far out of... I was at Waldo's, like... And he saw me, and he moved, like, way out of, like, the room, like, quicker than I thought was possible than any human could do. And I was oh, shoot. So, it's just sort of, like, things. And, like, I understand both. Like, I think it's healthy. Like, I've talked about this when I was on your podcast last time. It's healthy to know, like, what you are. I know I'm a little much for some people. So, it's like, I can't always be, like, you know... blaming other people about it. I just have to be like, well
that's why you got a new Facebook, you're starting over.
Just trying to be more, you know. And also I'm trying to do less of that. Like, I'm trying to be more confident.
Right.
And
can I talk
myself.
So Tyler Langlois, like, I think his family is, like, really fucked up.
They're
all drug
yeah.
addicts and stuff like this. So when I see him acting weird, I'm like, okay, I remember. Because, like, he did on my podcast, and I'm not talking behind his back, he said it on my podcast about how, like, a lot of people are drug addicts and alcoholics and this and that, and his family. And so I think, like, intimacy or being close to him is, like, tough for him.
Yeah.
Tell me about your darkness, Tyler. What is going on?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. My family's fucked up. I mean...
How so?
My birth mom was a heroin addict and an alcoholic. I haven't seen her since the second grade. I don't know. Yeah, my dad...
So you were like 7 or 8?
Yeah, 8. Yeah, first day of second grade was the last time I saw her.
Wow.
I went to school, and then when I was going to leave school, a one-legged homeless man was there to pick me up.
Uh-huh.
Which was one of her best friends.
Was that her pimp or something, or...?
They just did drugs together.
They just did drugs together.
And then the school was like, no, we're not going to send this kid home with this guy. He can't...
Who, Stinky Rufus? What's wrong with him? He's a great babysitter. Sure, he's down the leg, but come on.
Yeah, he's just not the kind of person you want to walk home with.
You had to wheel him home and he's protecting you? That's tough.
But, yeah, and then I guess...
So who raised you after that?
My dad.
Okay.
But I guess it was a whole thing because, like, I guess my birth mom told Dyfus that my dad was dead.
But
he's hilarious, and I think he channels his demons well.
Yeah.
And also, he doesn't drink. He doesn't do pot. He doesn't do anything.
Right.
So it's like he's really on a path of trying to, you know.
And
he's working on it.
It's just hard because, like, I get along with Eric and Brian, and it's just sort of like... But they sort of have their own cliquey thing where they're with everyone, and it's just like, you know, they just have their own way.
Yeah,
and their own
yeah.
thing, and for me, it's just like trying to, you know, maneuver.
I feel like they all had a podcast together, and then they kicked out Eric Niddle from that.
Oh, really?
I heard stuff like that.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, but even, it's like, you know, like, but here's what I like about this scene in New Jersey, is that everyone you mentioned, I feel like I'm friends with, but I'm more friends with different people, but... It's, like, on an individual basis.
Yeah.
I don't think that the New Jersey scene goes, this bubble is all a complete unit, and then they all agree to hate this person. It's like, no, individually, like, two people in that bubble might love you, and then one person doesn't like you, and it doesn't affect the bubble. So, like, everyone's an individual. Everyone, so, like, everyone gives you their own shot.
It's just like I know with the pizza boys, what they're called. I know Brian, even though he's... Like, people know him. He's...
Brian St. John.
Brian St. John. They know the way he is. I know that certain things I've done and certain things, like, they've made fun of me for behind my back. So it's, like, a thing I had to have to deal with and, like, know that has happened. And
well,
that's,
you know,
like,
Brian, he did your roast, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
so
he asked
like...
to come on, and I thought about it. I really didn't give it as much thought as I should have. Like, he didn't do anything bad, but, like, I really should have, like... I don't know. I think someone in my position and in our past would have just held it against him and been like, no. But with, like, him, I was just like, well, everyone knows Brian. Everyone knows...
That was, like, an olive branch. He's like, hey, let's be friends again.
Like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So
that
was fine. But with him, it's just like, I think they just have just more of that clicky thing. Like, they liked sort of making fun of my quirks and stuff and just, like, something like that. So... It's a little bit of bullying, but I'm like, I can handle that. And, you know, when I see Brian, whether he's being nice to me out of just being, like, nice, or if he's just being fake, I've really decided, like, I don't care. Like, as long as he's cool to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't care so much that he actually, like, is nice or, like, anything. Because it's just going to drive anyone crazy to be like, well, as long as he just is cool with me, then that'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't have to, like, totally be, like, suspect all the time and be, like, really worried, like, oh, does he really like me or not? Because it's, like, I don't know. It would just be too much of a waste of thought to think of that.
Yeah, and it's, like, look, just do shows and, like, don't care, like, oh, that person likes me 15%, so this person likes me 12%. It's, like, who gives a shit?
Right.
You know, like, just do your shit.
Yeah. I always had that, like, problem. I always think of that in that way. Like, you put it perfectly, of, like, 12% left.
Yeah.
I always think of that.
I gotta get that number up.
Right.
And how can I get them to like me 34%, you know?
Right. I always feel that way. And, I love listening to you talk with Danny Braff, because I feel like me and him are very similar in just how, like, neurotic and, like, certain ways that we are, and the way that we love comedy.
Yeah, yeah. But I like it. It's like, I just think of you guys as nerds, and, like, yeah. I have my own, like, mental problems. Like, I have, like, codependent personality disorder. So, like, when I get in a relationship, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the most beautiful girl in the world. And, like, I go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I, like, pour all this attention, like, at a astronomically unbalanced level. Because I need love from, like, so much, like, romance so much. I'm so, like, into that. That when I get a girlfriend, I, like, smother her in so much affection that she's like, this is fucking creepy. You know what I mean? So I got my own problems, believe me, my own mental problems. But I just feel like with stand-up, every time I go out and do stand-up, I, like, kind of get what I want.
Yeah.
I have fun. And the people talking about being a codependent, like, I am, like, I get in my head about, like, oh, this person doesn't like me. Then it really bums me out. Or this person that bums me out. But I've actually had a falling out with somebody who did the podcast, and then they didn't let me on their podcast, you know, whatever, whatever. But then they did a bunch of other things in a row, and then I kept texting and never got back to me. And so it's like, okay, I can let this one go.
Right.
I'm just going to let this one go because the way I'm treating this person is not equal to the way they're treating me back. I'm trying to be like upfront and be like, yo, this is a problem. No text back. Okay, well.
Right.
You're not making any level of effort, so I got to let this, you know. I can't be friends with everybody.
Right.
But, yeah, so whatever. But, yeah, it does bum me out, too, when people don't like me. I want everyone to like me.
And also,
me.
Like, I think it's also, I want that, but also I have to also admit the reasons why sometimes I want people to like me. Because, of course, it feels good for people to like you, and you want that, like, actual connection with someone. But also, there's a side of you with just it being kind of, like, show businessy, you sort of want people to know that you're likable.
Right, right.
So, like, well, I mean, if this person likes me, it does a lot for me.
Yeah.
And that's a very selfish thing to be like, I want this person to like me so that everyone sees that they like me.
Oh, because they're a good comic and they're associating with me
thing?
Oh.
So that's, like, sort of a thing I have to be very, like, self-aware about.
Right, right.
Because
then it will drive you crazy. So I should get booked on these shows because I have this association.
Not even that, just, like, then I'll at least look better. Like, I won't look like, because I don't mind looking, like, silly or stupid, but I don't want to look like a jerk. Like, that's the one thing that's, like, that is. I don't want to look
irrelevant.
Like, not even irrelevant, and also I don't want to look like, oh, don't be around that guy. Like,
right, like, don't be,
like.
But, like, I'm also, you said, like, about other people talk about you behind your back, and I'm sure that happens with me, like, because I ruffled some people the wrong way, and I know some names.
And also, like, I know what I am, like, I've said Like, it's just, like, I know my quirks, and I know what I have, and I know things I've done, and it's just, like, people are going to be, you know, either, you know, I think people either like that about me. It's very funny, like, I've never expected to be, like, so polarizing in a way. Like, when I...
Well, you're a cult figure.
It's, like, weird to think of that, though. It's weird to be that, like...
It is weird, like, at the Brighton Bar, everyone knows you here so well, so all the comics, like 40% of them, every time they do a set, mention you.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably because you're sitting in the front row watching.
You know, I was
watching.
Talking with the bartender about that, and he sort of has to yell at people, because, like, a lot of them, and, like, we've mentioned with the roast and stuff, like, what annoys me about it is people do that, and... They're not close with me as much as other people are that do that.
Right.
So
other people,
like,
have earned
the
right.
They're sort of using me in a way to help their sets when their sets aren't going well. And I don't mind. They can do whatever they want. But it's just as annoying to the bartender because people come in and they're like, why are they talking about Dweck? This Dweck kid isn't here. It's like he just left 10 minutes ago to go watch wrestling at home. What's he? He's not paying attention to this person's set. And it's
I have a big pet peeve of people that talk on stage about movies, because it's like, I don't want to name his name, but there's one comic that only talks about movies.
Right.
And, like, all the movies he's talks about, like, maybe I saw it once, like 15 years ago, but it's like, I don't remember this scene. Remember the part in the movie when this happened. Remember the part in the movie. I didn't see, first of all, I didn't see 9 out of 10 movies.
Right.
And the one I did see, the one out of 10 that I did see that I hear him talk about, I'm like, well, I don't remember that part. Like, you know what I mean?
I did that with one movie, and I stopped it because of that reason, like, doing movies. Because
it's like, Dweck's not in the room, why are you talking about him? This movie isn't in the room, why are you talking about it? It's like,
so, like,
the information for your joke should come from your fucking set that you set up, punch. And when you're set up, is pointing to all this material outside. Unless you talk about the coronavirus, because everyone's talking about the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a virus. There's no information you really have to need to know about it. It's just like an illness. So it's like saying AIDS or something.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But, there's... like, that's fine because everyone in the audience knows that. But if like, 30 years ago, if you say coronavirus, people are like, oh, was that, like, the bird flu? You know what I mean? So it's like people aren't going to know it then. So I don't know. Like,
I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because you seem to be really, really good at this. Like, do you ever find it hard when you go to, like, open mics regularly and it's just comics?
Mm.
Is it harder for you to get into, like, that sort of, I call it the show business aspect of comedy, where you just sort of, like, you introduce your set, and it's not very, like, because when you do, like, open mics with comedians, and it's just comedians, you sort of become, like, I've noticed this, people become more conversational.
Yeah.
And less, like...
Less presenting.
Yeah, less of a performance.
Yeah.
Do you have that issue? Because I always have that issue. I'm like, why don't I just go up there and talk to them like we're friends? Like, yeah. I didn't do my
So the thing bits. Is, yeah, like, I feel like when it's only comics in the room, and comics that I've known for years now, when they know all my, like, closing bits, like, my bits that I do for stand-up shows that I know are going to work, like, you know, like, they know all of the secrets. So it's like doing a magic trick when everyone's like, oh, the banana is up your sleeve.
Exactly.
And it's like, damn it, just let me do my banana up the sleeve. So because people already know the punchlines, I'm trying to do more, like, that's why it's motivating me to write more.
Right.
So, like, if, and I find that when I write new jokes and do them to crowds that already know me, it does better. And I never try, I never just do, like, conversational, almost never.
Yeah.
So I always, like, write jokes and then perform jokes. But for me, that I know that everyone knows my jokes, I'm trying to, like, really write new jokes. Yeah. But I never try to give up, like, the performance aspect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm trying to do more of.
Just that's like, why, like, at your roast, I was like, write fucking jokes!
Yeah, yeah.
And we just went through No Joke November, where everyone was doing this conversational zero performance style. I have an
opinion on that, too.
Okay.
It's like, I feel like a lot of people do that because it's, like, a hip thing to do, but it's not really good for them.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, I always think, you know, certain people can do it, and certain people can't, and it's a good writing exercise, but also... A lot of people just, that's not what they can do yet, you know?
Well, it's like, yeah, it's one thing.
You can't learn how to do a backstroke if you've never been in a pool before. That's sort of, like, my way to it. It's like, you know, if you have, you know, some type of background, like I did improv, and I couldn't do voices, I couldn't do characters, but I could, you know, you could put me in a scene, and I could at least... like, maneuver my way and be like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the same thing with doing a set, like, off the top of my head, is I can do that, but a lot of people just can't. They don't have that sort of maneuver, and they want to do it because it gives them an excuse not to write.
That's the, and also, that is the biggest that's element the biggest of one. It. It's
and,
laziness.
And then the other half is they want to fit in. And...
And look cool. Like, look cool. I don't even need to... I don't even need to fucking... I'm so fucking hot shit.
Yeah.
I don't need to prepare. I don't need to do dick. I'm just... My personality's so good. To me, it's laziness. It's narcissism.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I got my degree in screenwriting. Like, you know, so for me, it's like, yeah, your screenplay's not going to be good until you fucking work on it.
Yeah.
Your stand-up's not going to be good until you fucking work on it. Now... If something happens in a room like Oliver last night was talking the whole time and like you have to address it cuz like you know so you know what I mean like what if a waiter spills a drink and it explodes you have to say something about
it right
cuz it's commanding the attention of the
room. I like Oliver in a weird way because like me and him we get along a little bit better than other people do and I've always had that. I've always been like when I was in high school or whatever, even as, like, a little kid, there'd always be that one kid that annoyed everyone, and then I'd be, like, kind of friends with them, kind of not, and just be like, we're not really, I guess we're friends, technically, but, like, I tolerate him. And, like, for him, I think he's way different, like, just talking to him in person, like, outside of him being in public, he's way smarter. Like, it's mostly, I don't think it would surprise anyone to tell you that it's a bit of, like, not like a character, but he does put on a lot more. He's a lot brighter and a lot different than You know, he's a teacher. He works right. with kids.
Right, right.
Like, there is... He does have stuff about him that, just like...
Last night, he was a little intoxicated, and it was, like, impossible for anyone to perform yeah. because he wouldn't shut up.
It's terrible, but,
and like, when a lot of people in a row had to tell him to be quiet, it's like, okay, like I know he's had a traumatic brain injury, but it's like... Yeah. Dude, you don't know at this point that, like, when other people are on stage, it's their fucking turn. No, but
also,
talk.
That's the hard thing with him, is he has that, and also, he puts on, like, most of it, not most of it, but, like, half of it is an act. So, like, he puts on a lot more to be more annoying, and it's not, like, an act just to be funny. It's, like, he just does it to be freaking annoying to people, because that's what brings him joy. Yeah.
Do you think he could use a little bit more of that wanting people to like him type of thing?
I think... I don't know. I think I envy him because he does comedy in a way of, like... That's, like, I don't need people to laugh. I'm already laughing. Like, I can't even imagine being that person in comedy.
Mm.
But to see that in someone is very envious to me, but also I wouldn't want that. It's like...
Like, I understand... Like,
I can just go up on stage and just make myself laugh, and I don't need anyone else. Whenever I hear, like, comedians say that, it just drives me insane because I can't relate. I'm like, no, I need people to genuinely like me.
But, you know, my problem is, like, I have sympathy and empathy for the fact that he's had a traumatic brain injury. He's got a little bit of a diminished capacity due to that fact. But the one cardinal rule is, like, when someone else is performing, like, let them perform.
Yeah.
He, like, does everything he can to ruin it. And it's, like, that's the one mental illness I can't have sympathy for.
Right.
Where it's, like, if your mental illness is ruining the show every time, like, I don't want you around because then I can't work on my shit. I came to this mic. I came to this comedy show to work on my shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're talking, so hopefully there's enough context there to figure out what we're talking about. It's hard, though,
because, like, I totally understand, like, I have a way more sympathetic, I guess, way, and just, like, being around certain people, I just sort of, like, kind of have an adjustment to that. Like, it's so funny, being in special ed as a kid, you get, like, you just get more experience being around people like that.
Right.
You're just, like,
you ride the short bus, those are your people.
You become the keeper. You're like, yeah, I know this dude. I know this dude. I know how he's gonna act. Just, you know.
Just give him a peanut, and he'll start masturbating in the corner. So that he's got a thing. Yeah. Give him a peanut, and he'll jerk off, and then leave everybody alone. So just give him, like...
It's just, like, is that type of thing.
And give him something, like, tactile to feel, and then he'll be, like, calmer.
Right.
Give him some Play-Doh or, like, some construction paper, something he can really get his hands on.
Right.
He's that kind of mongo.
Right.
Let's go sign this list.
Yeah, sure.
He has a open mic at a library on Friday. He has a podcast that is dropping, I believe, tomorrow. And I can tell by the look in his eyes and the spring of step, he is ready to tear the Brighton bar down. Give it up for Richard Dwick.
Kanye West is a knucklehead. He is. He came out with a song last year about how he's a sick fuck. He likes a quick fuck. And all the stuff he's into is not, like, sick at all. He's not a freak at all. You know, you're not a freak if you're into blowjobs and handjobs. He'd be a freak if he was into, like, a dominatrix dressed as a Nazi whipping him in the balls. Like, that'll make him a sick fuck. He would be a sick fuck if he made, like, Kim Kardashian eat Indian food, get diarrhea, and then eat her ass. Like, that would be, like, his contribution to being, like, as a fellow submissive person, it just makes me angry that he claims to be when he isn't. But, anyway, I don't marijuana. A lot of people hear marijuana. I don't really... Here's my thing with marijuana. Is whenever I do it, I laugh. And it's not like a Joker 2019 laugh. It's more of a Def Jam audience laugh. It's very inappropriate. It's not appropriate at all. I stopped doing segues because I'm not good at them. They're like tying my shoes. Like, I didn't learn how to do it, so I'm not doing it anymore.
Oh.
No more segues. I was thinking about something, because I'm beginning to words. You know, I was thinking about stuff. When you're in trouble, you are toast. But if people want to hang out with you, they want to break bread.
What?
That's sort of what, just what I thought. I mean, I get weird stuff like that. Like, I started realizing how I talk to people. Like, the one thing that I do, and this just shows, like, how submissive and, like, Omega I am, is that instantly when I talk to another male, I have to call them boss. I instantly have to give them a promotion to talk to me. I instantly have to say, yes, you're the master, I'm whatever, like, you gotta, you're the head general, I'm not. I don't know, it's just bad.
Hey, we're just wrapping up here.
Yeah.
You have fun?
Oh, yeah. You did great.
Oh. You are such a sweetie pants. I didn't record my set, though. I'm focused on my guest now.
Right.
Sometimes I have a guest on, and then it's like 11 minutes of stand-up for me, and I'm like, I'm kind of a dick. But yeah. This is all your focus. Do you feel, you mentioned something, do you feel like submissive in all your relationships?
It's weird.
With other guys?
Not really. Other guys, though.
You know what I mean? Because you were,
I guess
you just
so.
Said that.
Well, I guess, I've always just been like, I've never been like a tough guy.
Right.
And I always feel like it's so funny. There's a, like, when I got into comedy, it was very easy because there was a lot of people like me. I felt like, you know, I think I still worry, like, I wouldn't ever fit in with like the cellar guys ever. But like, when I saw comedians when I was starting, like, getting into comedy, like Pete Holmes and Mike Birbiglia and John Mulaney, I was like, I can relate to these kind of, like, not alpha kind of guys.
These are beta guys. They're nice guys.
Yeah. So, like, that sort of, like, I follow in their footsteps in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just not, like, I was just thinking, like, that's a real thing that happened. Like, I started realizing when I talked to people, I started saying, sup, boss? To guys, and I was wondering why. I was like, why am I, giving
hey,
them
boss,
a promotion?
Boss? Yeah. Right, right.
Like, so, that's just the thing I was...
They're like a social promotion.
Yeah.
Like, well, clearly you're the boss.
Yeah.
Like, if we were gay, I would
yeah.
take your dick.
Exactly.
Right? I'm the bottom. I'm the power. I'll fuck you back, though, for right. my ass, but right. you're on top.
And then the Kanye thing is so funny. I was just like, I was trying to figure out, like, a way to get into it, and I was very happy with the way, like, I just said at a mic... The last mic I was at, like, Kanye's a silly goose. That's how I started my set.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've been trying lately, because I've just been throwing shit against the wall, like, cupping it to work. Like, for this one couple weeks ago, I did, like, this thing where I was talking in, like, making my own slang. So, like, I would call Netflix the flicks and stuff like that. And, like, go on and, like, how much of a douchebag I sounded like. But that didn't work for a while.
Because you're just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Hey, so flicks.
Like, yeah.
I know Netflix.
Yeah, so it was like that. So now I'm just sort of doing this new thing where, since I'm always, like, stammering when I build up to something, I'm like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do any more segues. I'm just going to go into joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been working really well because if you just say something that's automatically funny, it sounds so, like, it sounds so basic being a comedian. But it's really hard to, like, actually do. So yeah. I actually go up on stage and be like, I'm going to say this random thing, and hopefully it gets the big enough laugh that it can carry me to the next joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because instead of just stammering and being like, well, I have this idea and blah, blah, blah,
well,
I can
see,
just be
I,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I can just be like, blank is this, this is my opinion, this is the joke, and just move on from there.
See, you mentioned, like, oh, I don't want to do segues, I don't have segues, I'm not good at them. Just, like, if you drop that, if you just,
yeah.
like, because at a certain point in my set, I was like, you know, I know my mom's boyfriend, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know that. So I just do the setup. I just say the next thing.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, when I get enough punchlines, it's like, they know what you're doing. You're starting a new subject.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go, I'm going to start a new subject, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Just drop that.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like keeping the economy of words as tight as possible.
Yeah.
But good. You're a big sweetie bear.
Thank
you know,
you.
I love you very much, Richard Dweck. And thanks for being on my podcast. Now I'm going to shout out to the next segment with Danny Braff.
All right.
Say bye.
Bye.
From the Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kollerbach. With me, Danny Braff. Now, you got great news because you got, you know, thanks for having me on the February version
of
Verve. I bombed the first show.
And you did well the first, second
and,
show.
And then the second show, I pulled it together.
I don't know if I would say bombed. I would use the word, you ate a bag of dicks on the first show.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be more specific.
The second show, you yelled at them. They were talking.
Yeah, the second show, I yelled at them.
Did you snap?
A little bit.
What happened?
So here's what happened. They were not paying it, like, right up front. They were just
I go,
not.
Here's the big Jew. He's a big fat Jew. Give it up for Danny Braff. I introduced
And also,
you.
By the way, you may think that he's kidding. That was literally his introduction.
Yeah.
He goes, thank you for coming. Give it up for your big fat Jew host. He's
no,
autistic.
I said, he's Jewish. He's autistic. He's humongous. Give it up for Danny Braff.
Yeah, and then they kind of didn't even realize the show started. And I came out, started doing jokes. And then they just were, everyone was just talking. Like, not, yeah. no one was, the first show I did good. You bought.
Yeah.
The second show.
True.
The second show I started, right off the bat.
You were like, hey, everyone's gonna shut the fuck up for this fucking show. And then you're like, oh, wow, I snap. And now they hate me.
Yeah, it was weird. So I, second show, I just, they were just, everyone was talking, no, people were talking to them. So they didn't realize the show even started. So then I kind of...
Well, they were just finishing their table chatter,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but it was bad. So I kind of... it was a snap. It was a... It was less of a snap and more of a threat. I said, if you guys don't shut up, I have to kick you out. What am I going to do? Kick out the whole audience?
Right.
Everyone was talking. I can't kick everyone out. But here's what I did. Everyone shut the fuck up. They didn't shut up because... They were like, they just shut up because it was an uncomfortable thing to say. And then I felt tension in the room. I addressed the tension. It was like, oh, that was probably a little bit too harsh for a host. First thing to say out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you backpedaled the rest of your
set. I backpedaled a little bit. And then it took me a little bit. And I finally won them over. But
So you have big news because March. What date?
March 20th. Are you talking about the
show? And Giannis Pappas, I'm so happy to announce Giannis Pappas is doing your March.
Well, I have some bad news for you, Eric. Bad news for you.
But I shared it on Facebook.
Yeah, I know you shared it. But Giannis saw that Eric Hollerbach of the Eric Hollerbach Diaries.
Highway Diaries.
Highway Diaries with Eric Hollerbach share the post. And he was like, Eric, share this. I'm out.
Yeah, that happened.
And so Giannis canceled. I still love Giannis. I'm going to have him back on another day. He booked a bigger thing. I get it. I'm not mad at him.
He can make more money
day? Yeah. And I get it. He's very, very funny. He's a touring headliner. But we have a new headliner, Gary Veeder, who is unbelievably funny. He was a finalist on season 10 of America's Got Talent. Came in like third place or
but
something.
But how did you book him? Because like you work a full-time job, you know, you're handing out samples. Like how'd you find a replacement headliner?
It's funny that you say that. Well, I was laid off. I wasn't necessarily laid off. I'm not fired. I still work for them. Also my job, if you don't know, clearly you know what, everyone listening to this knows. You're only listening to it if you know me or you. And we all know the same people. But I worked for Costco handing out samples. By the way, this is an exclusive Highway Diary right now if you want to get there.
And then so you were handing out samples
every day.
But that's a sanitary job. It's all in its individual sanitary Dixie cup.
Everyone wears gloves. But because of coronavirus, they're like, people are touching food and whatnot, and we're not going to do that. So now
they get their own sample cup in a sterile sample cup.
Well, not when I do it. I make sure to piss into every single cup.
Give them that Jew dust.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, so these crackheads across the street, can we talk about them? They were practicing weapons. They had knives, and they were throwing them into the grass over and over again.
That's crazy.
And so that's like, there's like a whole scene of like homeless crackheads who have survival skills and practice throwing knives. So that's what's going on across the street of the George Street Co-op.
I only do throwing stars. I prefer a crackhead with a throwing star over a throwing knife.
Why is that?
Well, because I'm Jewish and I want it to be a Jewish throwing star.
Oh, the Jewish star?
A Jewish throwing star of David.
Wow. See, like, what if you got, like, you know, Grandpappy got hit in the neck by a Jew star, you know what I mean? And now everyone is anti-Semitic for generations. Now, how do you think the Palestinians feel? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Do you do politics?
I don't do politics.
Let's do politics.
I don't do politics. All right. I don't know enough about this.
Coronavirus. So you got laid off.
I didn't get laid off.
Did you get an email that was
I just got a call. I just got a call from my boss, and she's like, I'm not even fired. I still technically work there.
You're just on leave until this whole coronavirus thing blows over.
Yeah. But it was also interesting because literally the day before, they had a meeting, like every CDS, which I also don't work for Costco or for CDS, which is the sample company. It's a long story, but every CDS manager across the country had a meeting literally the day before, and they were like, "We're fine. Corona's not going to affect our jobs at all."
They literally told us that, like, and then...
That's just management speak for, hey, we had this meeting that says you definitely have a job tomorrow. Everything's cool.
Yeah, and then 8 hours later, they're like, never mind. We take that back.
So we thought that, but yeah.
Yeah, it was what it was.
What do you think about this coronavirus? I was at Walmart earlier.
I don't know if you heard this. I think gay people are the only ones who get it. Did you hear that?
I thought it was gay Asians.
gay Asians.
That are trying to turn the books at the schools into trans books. I heard that. That's the only one who's susceptible to getting it.
So if you have a friend who has it and they're not gay, well, I have some news for you.
They have coronavirus. So, I was in the Walmart earlier, and, like, all the shelves are empty. Like, it's just a madhouse. Well,
so, we were trying to go get a hand sanitizer today, because my mom was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
And everywhere we hear is out of the hand sanitizer, but we heard that the Christmas tree shop has hand sanitizer.
But it's scented like peppermint, though.
Yeah, it smells like midgets and candy canes.
You can still get coronavirus. It's just a more... like a midget version.
Someone's going to dig this up in years from now when I get SNL, and they're going to be like, he said midget and candy cane scented.
And that's very disrespectful to people who died of the coronavirus. How dare you?
So we went to this Christmas tree shop, and I guess they were saying that they still have it in because no one thinks to go to Christmas tree shop for hand sanitizer. And then we got there, and we were like, can we get some hand sanitizer? And they laughed in our face, like, "Fuck you! You had a beer a month ago if you want hand sanitizer."
Yeah, we were the last place that had it, but now we only have turpentine and Christmas tree grease.
Yes, that's what they said exactly.
So, are you allowed to go into a Christmas tree store?
As a Jew?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a good question.
You reek of matzo ball. What's going on?
I'm trying to think of a Jewish seasoning, but then I realized Jews don't use seasonings.
No, they just boil it.
They allow us in, but only for 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah. Kind of tastes like penny loafers, though.
They let us in. They go clock, and then you walk into the Christmas tree store, and there's a red light starts flashing that goes Jew in the building.
You guys have your special section that you have to go into.
Yeah,
they're like only this checkout line is for haggling. So if you want to haggle the prices, there's a special.
Yeah. They put a tax on for us.
Line number 17 is for haggling, but you need a yarmulke to get the price down. What am I going to do with this tree? I don't know. Maybe I'll resell it. I don't know. Just anti-Semitism. What's going on? How's your autism? Is it being treated with a... Have you lost your health care? Costco?
Yeah, well, I never got Costco health care.
You don't take Adderall or anything, do you?
No, I'm not on anything. Not on anything.
Yeah.
Other than... No, I'm not on anything.
Just like...
I'm trying to come up with a joke, and then I had nothing.
Some sweet potatoes. Syrup.
I was like, is...
Something natural.
Does lactose count as something that I'm on?
I'm on a lot of smoked fish. That's where I'm going.
That's good. That's better than lactose. I wish I came up with smoked fish.
How's your mom? Did she hear the last podcast where I made a lot of sexual things about her?
No, I made sure to, when I posted it, I made sure to block her.
Oh, you blocked her from a Facebook post?
Yeah. What's it called? Because, here's the problem. I was going to share this one. And block her from
Giannis
this one.
Giannis Pampas is going to be at the Verb this March.
No, he's not. It's going to be Gary Veter, but it's still going to be really, really, really fun
show. Just block Giannis on this Facebook post, if you don't mind, so he doesn't try to ruin my career later.
Yeah. Giannis is very funny.
He's great, I was excited for it. I was going to go to that show.
No, I'm
going to
reschedule.
I'm a fan of
him. I'll get him
another
time.
So did you say, hey, next month, can you
do it? I can't do next month because in April I have Mitch Hedberg. But I think I'm going to try to get him in May or something.
He's coming in from Colorado?
Yep.
Wow, you're flying him in?
I'm not flying him in. He's doing a show in Long Island the day before.
Ah, so you got him from the governors?
They're flying him in.
See?
And I'm just chewing them off.
He's in town, huh? Are you? You got to put him at your mom's house for the between the weekend that he does governors.
No,
to your Verve
he's
show.
Just coming and doing the show and then leave. I'm really excited for Mitch. We've discussed this. When I was like 16, I was a fucking huge Mitch Vitale fan. I could probably tell you his 2003 Just for Laughs set word for word. That's how like I
go for it.
All right, I'm not going. Yeah. I'm not going to do that because it'd be
girls with their panties. Oh my god, I like that.
No, but I do. I was a like when I was like 16, I was a fucking huge Mitch Vitale fan.
Yeah,
I had that set.
Just 4 years later, you're living your childhood.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't know what I'm gonna do. There's gonna be me and him. We're both. Our whole thing is we're awkward. I don't know if. I think when Mitch gets there, I'm gonna be like, hey, can you not be awkward for this show? Because I'm the awkward
tone
guy.
Tone it down. That's my lane. Well, good. Well, I'm glad we talked. That's all I wanted to talk.
That's all you wanted to talk. That's all you want. That's interesting. That's all you wanted to talk to me about.
So this. You're not going to be the guest. You're going to be the appetizer.
Okay.
So, because I had
to be like the oyster with a little bit of lemon on it. That's what I am.
Next to the maraschino cherry.
That's I think cherry. You're going to, I know what a maraschino cherry is, but they don't go with oysters. You know.
I meant just like a garnish.
I thought you were going to say like a Shirley Temple with oyster juice in it.
There's been rumors about Shirley Temple for a long time.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you a mayonnaise fan?
I'll fuck with mayonnaise in certain aspects. But I saw a lady eat like in a competitive thing, like 6 jars of mayonnaise.
By itself?
And it put me off mayonnaise for like a week.
Really? I enjoy mayonnaise. I couldn't do, like, not plain. I'm not eating spoonfuls.
Like tuna salad, chicken.
You would know, I also,
salad.
Like, here's, like, I'll like, other things, too. Like, of course, sandwiches, but then, like, I'll sometimes make Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but then instead of milk, I'll put mayonnaise. And then.
Well, you garnish with smoked fish and maraschino cherries on that concoction? You're going to have a heart attack.
No.
You're going to give yourself coronavirus.
I am a big fan of mayonnaise. I was talking to some other people about it, and I like mayonnaise a lot.
Well, yeah, you do it with French fries, too.
I do it with French fries. I put it on almost anything.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting. My mom.
Very French.
Do you want to hear something disgusting that my mom does? I also don't do that thing with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
She's a dirty bitch, isn't she?
My mom does this. Hey, man. My mom does this thing where she takes a bowl of sour cream, just fills up a bowl, like a cereal bowl, to the top with sour cream.
Yeah.
And she slices a few pieces. She slices a few pieces of radish into it. And then she just eats a bowl of sour cream with a little bit of radishes.
That is weird. That is weird. How much does she weigh?
She used to be fat. She's not really.
But she slimmed down on the sour cream diet? See,
that's
how
she lost the weight, actually.
She just has heavy diarrhea after. She's lactose intolerant, so that's how she cleanses. Because she just poos for like 48 hours after that. It's like, you gotta bite the. Get a hair of the dog that bites you, you know? Like, whatever you're allergic to, you gotta go for it.
And that's what they say about peanuts. Just if you have a peanut allergy, I recommend you just eat them.
Or jump in a bowl of them, eat your way out.
Yeah.
Exposure therapy. It's like I saw this lady, she was like scared of pickles.
Scared of pickles?
She went on Maury Povich, and they had like a barrel of pickles, and they dumped it on her. Yes, it is!
No!
They go exposure therapy!
I believe that you saw this, but it's not real. No one's scared of. Do you also believe the people on My Strange Addiction?
Yeah, see, it's like that.
But it's not those aren't real either.
You don't think so?
No one in their.
What if somebody had a potato gun, they put a pickle in it and shot it in their face as a baby?
Nah, it's not real. No one. No one eats their couch. That's not a thing.
I saw the lady do it.
Yeah. She did it for TV.
Yeah.
I was
wondering, like, why isn't this person dead today?
It's not real. It's not real.
Can your body process, like, foam from a couch over time?
Let me ask my mom.
No, she's got the sour cream thing going. She just garnishes it with a little couch in her bowl of sour cream. Dude, I would fuck with some sour cream hard, like on some like smoked fish or something. But I mean, like in a bowl, that's crazy.
And then her thing is the radishes make it so it's not just a bowl of sour cream, but it's just a bowl of sour cream.
Like, that's literally a garnish.
Yeah,
that's like I had 2 blueberries. I'm just eating blueberries on like yogurt or ice cream. No, you're eating ice cream.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
Anyway, she has mental illness. But God bless her. Yeah, God bless her. She's not getting better, but
well, I hear when she, the reason she first did it was when she was pregnant with me, that she heard that the sour cream will lube her up and make it easier for me to come out. And then...
Is that real?
No.
Is that Jew science? That's in the Kabbalah or the Torah or something like that?
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
So there was a flaming star David. She's like, if someone pushes on my stomach, I'm going to shoot him through that. Hey, what's up, Elazar?
He ruined the podcast. Oh, we have to restart.
No. Somebody, yeah, we got to restart this. I like Elazar. Can I tell you something about this, the Jersey comedy scene? You know, I had PTSD when I came in here because I got banned from 5 clubs in New Orleans. And then I come here and, like, people are so nice to each other that yeah. I'm, like, really, like, very supportive, like, super supportive of each other. Like, and that's why I wanted to talk about the Jester GoFundMe that Sean McDonough put up. But I couldn't get either of them on this podcast. They canceled last minute, which is really super cool. But I saw, like, when I look through who, when I donated to the Jester GoFundMe, I see everybody's name in the scene that I respect.
It's really nice.
You know, it's like, oh, there's that person. It just read like a list at an open mic of it, like everybody who.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Brian St. John didn't donate, though. It was someone else.
It was called that? Brian St.
Anonymous, but it wasn't
anonymous. Yeah.
It was anonymous. I have no
and then there also was. Someone called Eric Hollerbenacker donated.
Is that you? That's funny.
No,
it's not as funny.
It was anonymous.
It's not as funny as Brian St.
Well,
anonymous.
That's why I just completely swaggerjacked him.
I
but
am.
Then, yeah, so then it's like, oh, wow, like, you know, like 50 comics, like, supported that. Like, $10
it was interesting
because
I shared. I had someone who I used to work with at Costco, and I shared it. She's never met Franco, never been to Jester, doesn't know. She just donated. It was
that's
just like
cool.
A total stranger.
And someone donated like $2,000.
Yeah, Mr. Jokes.
Who's that?
It's me. It's not.
No, it's,
it's not.
I know.
It's definitely
you.
Not. It's not. But I am curious, too. But
yeah, right? I wonder if that was a family member or like something.
Yeah,
other.
I've talked to him.
Know.
He doesn't know.
Sean doesn't know?
No.
Franco doesn't know? All right. Well, look, this has been a Garnish, a Marciano Cherry.
Come to Comedy at Verve March 20th, Gary Veeder.
With Giannis. I bought Giannis.
come to Comedy at Verve April 18th with Mitch Fatale. That one's going to sell out real early. It's a Saturday. It's only Saturday. So come follow me on Instagram, at Danny Abraff. Follow Eric on...
I'm on Twitter, but I'm very rarely on there. I haven't been on there in years. But anyway, on to the next.
And follow segment. My mom in life. Just follow her to her car. Like probably, Eric does.
Yeah, help her with all of her bags of sour cream back to the fucking Jewmobile. Later.